Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? UltimateSportsTalk.com. Go to UltimateSportsTalk.com. Check out major sports, WWE, MMA, all sports, all the time at UltimateSportsTalk.com, or you can follow them at Twitter at UltimateSportsTalk as well. Welcome to Gridiron Blitz, along with the lovely Erica Lynn Anderson from GridironGirls.org. Another edition of the Blitz, and today we have fantasy football on our mindset, given the preseason is about to end. So, Erica, hopefully you had a good week. We had a little shake and bake up here in Northern California, but other than that, we're in good standing. So, another good Sunday.
Yes, it was a good week. We're getting ready, you know. End of preseason means school starting and everything's gearing up, and we've got some nice fall weather here in Montana. So, it's been nice. It's cooled off, and I'm enjoying it.
Awesome. So, today we have the founder of GridironGirls.org, Nicole Brown. She's given us some time, and she's going to talk a little bit of college football and kind of dive into some fantasy football in terms of what she knows. And then we're going to get the guru at Fantasy Greek, Mr. Jim Sorrentis, who's going to come in and kind of give us some insights on who we can take in our fantasy football leagues, depending on what league you're playing in. We're just going to go a little basic. So Jim's got some tips on, you know, top five to look for in a quarterback, running back, and a receiver, kind of a basic overview of fantasy football. And if you want to follow him, you can get all the pro football preview as well at fantasygreek.com, or you can follow him on the Twitter handle at fantasygreek. So we're going to bring them on here in a couple minutes. In the meantime, Erica, a lot of things happened last night in the women's game. So we can go to Texas. The Texas Independent Women's Football League Championship finalized their season. So the San Antonio, Texas Legacy, perfect 10-0 season in the inaugural league season. They defeated Houston Lady Eagles last night, and you can get the details at SA Texas Legacy on Twitter. We will also update the score and everything else from their Facebook information site later this week on our Facebook page. So congratulations to the San Antonio, Texas Legacy for their perfect season, a 10-0 in the inaugural TIWFL League Championship. And then we go to YouTube on LFL. So we talked a little bit about LFL last night. The Chicago Bliss on the verge of a back-to-back championship. Last year we talked about how Chicago Force won the championship and left it in the Midwest, as well as the non-traditional lingerie-style team. The Chicago Bliss won the championship. Previous to this, Los Angeles Temptation was the three-time champs. Last year they missed the boat, obviously the Bliss. This year they were coming into this game looking for a championship rebirth to go back to the Legends Cup, which is going to be on September 6th. But Los Angeles just could not muster enough. The Bliss overpowering, and you'll get to watch the game next 2 weeks, I believe. Not next week, but the week after, you'll get to see Temptation Bliss live on the YouTube channel at Legends Football League on YouTube. Last night, Chelsea Hart predicted that the Temptation was going to go ahead and take care of Chicago 40-12. And unfortunately, the score did match up, but she's on the losing end of that. So I guess predictions aren't a very good thing to do, especially if you're competing against a very good quality team like Chicago. So I think that that happens in the NFL as well, right, Erica?
It does. That's why I hate making predictions with, especially when the Patriots are involved. I feel like I jinx the team when that happens.
Yeah, and I think that's what Chelsea did yesterday. She was confident, but when she came into the game, it was a totally different mindset. The Chicago running back is the Chicago Bliss MVP of the game, Chris Del Harris. They call her the Ferrari, number 13.
Ooh.
And she scored 3 touchdowns last night and put the 40 points up to beat Los Angeles 40-12 in their home stadium, which was a playoff game, but they ended up hosting it at their home stadium. And so in home at the home stadium of the Temptation, they lose 40-12. Their season ends, rebuilding mode for them. They have not been the same since legendary Coach Bizov, who is up for a Hall of Fame induction, along with Monique Axiola, Mary Rose Roach, and the MVP of the league last year, Chicago quarterback Heather Furr. And that will take place on September 5th. LFL is supposed to be honoring one of those folks as the first inductee into their Hall of Fame. So I'm rooting for
very cool.
Coach Bisov, 3 back-to-back titles in a row, only lost 1 game, I believe, in his tenure as a coach.
Wow.
So that was 3 years in a row, only lost 1. He lost it to Las Vegas Sin, and I believe Las Vegas, no, Dallas Desire, I'm sorry, Dallas Desire. And Temptation has not been the same under Eddie Chan, who took over the reins for him. But unfortunately, their season ends. Chicago moves on to the Legends Cup, September 6th. They will face rookie quarterback Dakota Hughes of the Atlanta Steam, along with Nasir Johnson, who used to play in the WFA. Now she's playing for the LFL Atlanta Steam, as well as Alfrey Fry, who we have on our Instagram. Posted up there, and the rest of the girls on the Steam, they look forward to a big challenge. Heather Furr, Crystal Harris, hungry for back-to-back championship. It's going to be a huge hurdle for Atlanta. Atlanta is sporting their NWO, New World Order T-shirts. I'm assuming that's inspirational for them to coming in as the bet, you know, the underdogs. Hopefully they can overpower the big monster, which is the Bliss. So we'll see that. But on YouTube, if you wanted to watch the game previous to this, last weekend's game, which was Baltimore Charm, Omaha Heart. It's a great defensive game. 19-12, Omaha wins. They defeated the Charm. Charm had to score 17 points to make the playoffs. They only scored 12. The Omaha Heart, 2-game winning streak going into the next season. So it shows a little toughness there. And Omaha always packs Ralston Arena. That's their home arena. I think the Midwest is very prideful of having the lingerie team there. They treat them no different than their Omaha Beef, which is a semi-pro league, which is great to hear.
That is good to hear because it doesn't, you know, it's not like that everywhere around the country. So that's really cool to hear that they're welcoming and very proud of that.
Yeah, and, you know, it says a lot about their toughness. Their defense was ranked number 1 all season, and it kind of showed in that game. They only allowed 12 points, and that was their average all season, between 8 to 12 points allowed. So you got to give credit to the whole squad there. They've done an amazing job all season. And so congratulations to them for a 2-game win streak. Baltimore, more than likely, will not be back next season. There's rumors has it that they will have Washington, D.C. team in the LFL instead of the Baltimore Charm. So we'll see how that goes there. The other happening is week 6 in the Liga Mexicana de Football Lingerie, LMFL. Sunrise Fighters win in week 6. They move on. They're undefeated. They will take on the also undefeated Amazonas of Aguas Calientes. So the 2 finalists here were last year's finalists again. So they meet once again and see if this time the Amazonas have the Sunrise Fighters numbers. Very tough team. So we'll see how that ends up, and the championship should be coming up next week or the week after, I believe in 2 weeks. So it'll definitely be Sunrise Fighters against Amazona Aguas Calientes for the championship there. The LIBF in Mexico, they're going to come up with a 2015 calendar with some of their top stars from the pre-qualification season this season, and you can get all the details on the upcoming tours and games, too many to list. So I will just tell you, August, September, October, a lot of games coming up for the LIVF in Mexico. It is blowing up immensely. You can visit www.livf.com.mx for all the latest All-Star events and the fall season that's coming up, or you can follow them on their Twitter handle at LIVF Oficial on Twitter. So that's all I got pretty much for the Gridiron notes. The Gridiron Women's Queensland Division, we will get results out there as soon as we get updates from them. The LFL Australia is in the works of starting, and we will update that as soon as it comes up. The Ladies Gridiron League in Australia is also about to hit start. So as soon as we get updates from Down Under, we will post them up on Twitter and Facebook. So pretty much that's what's going on in the women's game. So, Erica, anything new that the fans should know before we bring our guests on what's going on at Gridiron Girls that we got going on?
Yeah, Gridiron Girl, you'll be, if you guys have been to our website, you guys can expect we're in the process of redesigning, so stay tuned. We're going to have some really cool features on the site, videos and pictures, and you're definitely going to want to check it out because it's going to be awesome. So in the next week to 2 weeks, you guys are going to be able to see that. I'm ecstatic to see the changes and the new features. So stay tuned for sure.
And we cannot always miss out on the original of originals, the Erica Lynn Anderson rant. So we'll look out for that as well on YouTube.
That's
so as
right.
soon as the season
Are
starts.
Are you kidding me?
Look forward to the Are You Kidding Me segment. And then we'll
That's
have our
right.
little rants here as well, like normal. And I'm pretty sure you can bring
yeah.
some of that to cover three as well, since you're going to be on there on and off. So
yeah. That's right. Lots of fun.
All right. So we're going to bring in our guest now into the No Joke Football Huddle. The No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, where you can get all the No Joke Football Project gear. Get your gear. Specials every day, almost every week. Pick it up. Any favorite jersey, check it out. If you don't want to get anything, it's not a big deal. No commitment. Browse, shop. You can create a wish list. Pretty much anything. Zazzle.com has been taking care of us for almost 4 years now. We are very appreciative of their servicing, and you will be too, because if you don't like it, they will take it back. It's 100% customer satisfaction. So if you buy anything at the No Joke Football Gridiron Beauty store, if you don't like it, they'll take it back. It's pretty much a great guarantee. So check out what's there and check it out. So in the huddle, we have the member of the GridironGirls.org, and this time it's the founder, and that's Nicole Brown, along with FantasyGreek.com and at FantasyGreek on Twitter, Mr. Jim Sorrentes. So welcome aboard, you guys, to the Blitz.
Hey,
thanks for having us. Really great.
All right. Nicole, Jim, NFL preseason, let's just start off the bat. Jim, let's start with you. A lot of injuries. Let's just go with that first. A lot of injuries. Is that going to be a factor, you think, for, you know, if you already drafted your league at this point, or for those that are obviously waiting towards, like, the last season to draft? Tell us a little bit about how injuries go into play with fantasy football.
Sure. As a general proposition, I don't like drafting injured players. There's just always, it seems to be, a lot of risk associated with it. Unless it's something that they're recovering from, that certainly looks like there's an end in sight. For example, Rob Gronkowski last year, we knew he was going to play. We just didn't know when. But as far as the current situation stands, there were two. There was one major injury in week three of the preseason. That was to Sam Bradford, who tore his ACL. It was in his left knee, and that was the knee that he injured last season. He's out for the season. And while Sam was sort of projecting as a low-end QB2, for right now, he's obviously not going to be draftable, and if you drafted him, you're going to need to drop him and probably look at some of the lesser talent that could be available on your waiver wire. But there's still some players with upside. You can check out EJ Manuel, as well as follow Brian Hoyer and the such, or just wait for your bye week. There's nothing wrong with that, and get whoever's got the best matchup and just plug and play them.
Jim, you do know that I was crying about an hour ago? Because unless Jesus is going to send us another Kurt Warner, since I'm a Ram fan, I guess
say that one more time. I didn't hear you.
No, I said, you do know I was crying about an hour ago, because unless Jesus is going to send me another Kurt Warner, I don't think our season is going to be that promising.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting situation. Sam Bradford's in the second to last year of his contract, and then you got to genuinely wonder if the team will bring back Jeff Fisher. But he's a great coach. Hopefully they'll see past that.
All right, so go ahead and continue on, Jim.
Sure. You know, there was another player. It wasn't so much an injury, but it was more or less he got suspended for violation of the league's substance abuse policy, and it was kicker Matt Prater for the Broncos. You know, kickers aren't the most sexy players in fantasy football, but if you have a good one, it's always a plus. He's going to be out for 5 weeks of the regular season, back in week six. If you have him, you got to cut him and pick up somebody else. If you're heading into your drafts, there is no reason to draft him and have him sitting on your bench for 5-6 weeks. You're better off getting a good position player and seeing how that pans out before you come back to go get Prater. Other than that, I think the injuries were, as I explained in the beginning, I'm not a big fan of drafting injured players. You're better off taking the healthy ones and seeing where they go.
So, Jim, just for Nicole, myself, and Erica, on a fantasy, you know, league status, you really have to monitor, is it a week-to-week or is it a daily? What kind of monitoring do you have to do? Because I know certain leagues, there's a cutoff each week, right, where you have to set your roster for that next week's game?
Absolutely. Most rosters get locked literally a minute or two before kickoff. Your best bet is to monitor the player news. You could, for example, our site, if you sign up for our free email list, every time we publish an article, an email gets sent to you, and these days that means it comes to your phone. So if any of your players are affected, we focus in on the major injuries as opposed to the minor ones, such that if it affects them missing a game, we'll include it. But if they, you know, twisted an ankle but they're fine, we're not going to focus in on that. So you're going to want to do those kinds of things on a daily basis just to, you know, kind of keep your head in the game and adjust your roster accordingly. Usually injuries in football, they're major enough to miss several games or the entire season. It never seems like there's a minor injury worth reporting.
Now, we talked about Erica, you can dive in if you want also, so that way we can pick his brain, because that's what we brought him in here, because Jim, you know, needs to be poking in the head. But no, just joking. So, Jim, you know, quarterbacks, we got, you know, Erica's favorite team, the Jets. You got Vic and Smith out there, you know. So I know Rex Ryan has said that, unfortunately, this is the team to beat in 2014. So I don't know what he's smoking out there in New York. But what's your thoughts on the Jets situation with the quarterback stuff?
Well, sounds like people have something to say about this, so I'll try and be brief and quick. Well, here's the thing. Geno Smith, he is the starter. He has shown some flashes in last season, some flashes in the preseason. It actually made me feel better seeing the chemistry that he had with Eric Decker. I think it was a week or so ago. I was watching some of the highlights from one of the games. And, you know, I mean, the arrow's pointing up for him. It's a big year for him. The Jets have a great defense. Don't anybody doubt it. It's one of the unsung heroes in the league. I mean, you've got a defensive line, I think, with five first-round draft picks, or the defensive line and the linebackers, five first-round draft picks. I mean, it's crazy talented. Their issue has been the secondary. They finally fixed it in the offseason, I think, but now they've got some injuries, so it might take a little while for the unit to gel. But things are in the right place there. It's just a matter of Geno Smith stepping up to the call.
So, Jim, once again, so if I had to pick between Vic not starting, should I keep him as a backup, or should we take Smith at this point as a starter? And then you don't want to pick like the same quarterback from the same team, right? You always want to have a different quarterback from a different team.
I mean, I suppose you could have two quarterbacks from the same team, but generally speaking, no, don't do that. In this particular instance, you know, you might want to stay away from Geno Smith because we just don't know what we're going to get. If in 5 weeks he's playing horribly and they decide to put Michael Vick in, you've suddenly wasted a roster spot on a player that the chances of him being there the entire season weren't looking good in the preseason. So we need to just wait and make sure that he has solidified his place as the team starter before you add a player like him. And right now, I that's what makes most sense.
All right. So Erica, Jim, anything for Jim?
Yeah. So
Erica?
So what is your opinion on Johnny Manziel? Obviously, the attention is there, the notice is there, but and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are interested in having him on their fantasy football team, if only just because it's the name. But with Brian Hoyer being named the starter in week one, what is your opinion or advice to people out there on Manziel?
Me personally, I'd stay away from him. Unless you're in a keeper league or a dynasty league, I just don't see the sense of wasting a roster spot on him until it becomes abundantly clear that he will, in fact, be the starter for the remainder of the season. I think the Browns are making the right decision by going with Brian Hoyer. You could just look at the game tape and tell he's the player that can march this team down the field and that can run the offense. His value is really, in my opinion, very contingent on whether or not Josh Gordon is suspended or not for the entire season. If Gordon is just suspended for a few games, wow, I think Hoyer could end up being pretty good. I mean, last year he was playing really at a high level before he got injured, and I think Josh Gordon is a big key to that. So I would sort of, as to both quarterbacks, if I could, I would sit back and just wait and see.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I think that Hoyer definitely has some maturity that Manziel doesn't have yet to lead a team. I think we've all witnessed that as last week. I definitely agree with you.
Awesome.
Nicole, you got anything for Jim here?
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, I'm the resident, fantasy football novice around here. But obviously my focus tends to be on college football. So, but Erica has wrapped me into playing fantasy this year. So I have a lot of questions. I mean, I've obviously played before, but, just kind of got my feet wet and didn't spend a whole lot of time analyzing the right picks. I was fortunate my first year to pick Cam Newton in his rookie season, so I ended up with my beginner's luck winning my league that year. But I'm curious about your thoughts on Chip Kelly and the Eagles, mainly because of how much, I'm an Oregon fan and I cover Oregon, so I'm pretty familiar with Chip Kelly's offense. And so, I mean, it appears that he is trying to replicate what he did at Oregon, which is going to mean scoring a lot of points. And so, in the quarterback situation there seems kind of up in the air. And so I just wondered what your thoughts on, is it worth gambling on picking one of those guys or?
You mean like Nick Foles or
LeSean
McCoy?
Yeah, either Matt Barkley or Nick Foles, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, LeSean McCoy is safely one of the top three running backs in fantasy football. Some people argue he's even number one. If you have one of those three picks, you can certainly, even if you're just picking him because you love the Eagles, by all means, go right ahead.
Right.
As far as the other Eagles, Nick Foles stands next in line to benefit from that offense because of all the talent that's around him. I like him as high as a number five fantasy football quarterback. Some people would say that's too high. Fine, fair enough. Put him seven or eight. Whatever the case, he's top ten. And I think it's difficult to argue otherwise. So feel very comfortable taking him, let's say, after round five of your fantasy football draft. That's probably an okay time to take him. As far as Jeremy Maclin, I think Maclin stands to benefit sort of like DeSean Jackson did last season in that offense. And what's beautiful about it is so far in the drafts that I've done with real people drafting real teams, you could get him as your third wide receiver, it seems, round six, seven, eight. Heck, yesterday I saw somebody take him second of the last round. That's how much he was ignored by this particular league.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. That was one of my bigger questions. If it's about points and it's about yardage, I mean, the Eagles could be poised to
Yeah,
that,
you know, so. For people out there who might be listening to the show that they haven't played fantasy football for very long, in my 2014 fantasy football draft guide, I have a section of it where I explain the things to look for in this year's draft, things to get comfortable with. And one of the things I recommend to even somebody who's a veteran at it is to actually show up with a top 200 list, whether it be mine, whether it be someone else's. It's just a way to sort of organize your thoughts on how to value players. And hopefully it's been organized in a way like I do, where the points are, the rankings are for points per reception, where you get points every time a player catches a reception, or in leagues where there aren't points given per reception. It actually does affect the ranking, and some players in one league, while they could be a top five player in another league, end up dropping down to between 5 and 10.
And that's what happens with especially with betting leagues, I think, right, Jim?
What's that?
And that's probably the route they go with the betting leagues when they don't go per reception. They sometimes on the betting leagues for money. I think sometimes it's more complicated.
Well, in the daily games is what it's generally referred to, where you get to pick a team every single weekend. What they do is they give you a salary cap. Every player has points assigned to his name, and as you put them on your roster, let's say you have a 200-point budget, you can take that number down to zero, but you can't go into the negative. So you've just got to pick the right grouping of players within the 200 points, and then you play away, and hopefully you've made good selections.
Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, I was curious. So let's say you're in a keeper league, and obviously you have one keeper. Who would be your choice? Like, what position do you think is the most important to pick for keeper? Because most people would go quarterback, but, you know.
Say that again?
Like, well, most people would, keeper, they would go with, like, let's say a quarterback, because they would feel like that would be a position where it would be harder to obtain a really big-name guy. But do you think is that the best strategy?
Okay, well, in a keeper league, quarterbacks tend to be the players that you select, let's say younger players. We're talking about like a dynasty league, right?
Yeah,
it really,
Okay.
You know, because what I was going to say was, if you're talking about one player and you only get to keep one player every year, it definitely depends. If it's going to be a keeper league where all you're going to do is draft rookies who are selected by NFL teams because the rest of your team is locked in for the year because it was the same team from the previous year, it's just a different, slightly different strategy.
Okay, because I think I'm doing a league this year, and you know that you can do a keeper or not, and so you select one player that you can keep for the year. And I was just curious.
Well, do you have a specific player in mind? I'll help you if I can.
No, I was just curious as to if you had to have a keeper for the whole season, who would you choose? Do you have somebody?
See, I mean, if I could pick one player, if I had Jamal Charles already on my team, I would keep him. I mean, he's in my opinion, the number one overall draft pick. Or if I had LeSean McCoy, I would keep him. I would keep the players that aren't as deep by position. So, for example, despite the fact that you've got, let's say, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees out there, who I think are legitimate keepers, all the other quarterbacks, there's no reason to necessarily hang on to them because they're grouped so close together in terms of fantasy points. And as you move from one to the next to the next to the next, the drop-off is not as big. But when you look at running backs, there's maybe a dozen that legitimately could be called what they say workhorse running backs or premier running backs where they're going to get 300 carries or 300 touches on the season. And those are running backs that you would definitely want to keep.
Okay. So, yeah, I was just curious as to your strategy when it goes to keeping a player, where you go with that. So,
You've got to look at really two things, productivity, the position, and the age of the player. I mean, if it's a keeper league where, let's say, you can even keep them beyond 1 year, well, you want a player that's got 5-10 years ahead of them in their career as opposed to a player that in a year or two they could be retiring.
Okay.
I have a question.
Nicole, you have a deal?
I do. I have a quick question. This probably is a dumb question, but I'm curious about your thoughts on choosing a dual threat quarterback. I mean, do you tend to steer clear of them just because of them being more prone to injury, or do you see it as an asset?
Oh, I definitely see it as an asset. Anytime that you can have a quarterback, because most leagues, quarterbacks get 4 points per passing TD, but then they'll get the 6 points for a rushing TD just like any other player. And if you have a mobile quarterback that can get you 5 touchdowns running it into the end zone, I mean, that's 30 points that just comes out of nowhere. And I mean, it's like bonus. It's just a bonus. So you want quarterbacks like that if you're just so long as you're picking them in at the right time. I mean, would I take RG3 over Peyton Manning? Absolutely not. RG3 over Drew Brees? Absolutely not. You know,
yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Are we still here?
I'm Nicole's here.
Okay. I think maybe Jim dropped off. I don't know if he dropped off.
Yeah.
If he was calling
he's
from a different area.
He's not dropped off on the board, but okay.
He didn't drop off on the board?
Nope.
You still on there?
Yeah, it shows he's still on there. Maybe his phone got muted on accident or something, and he doesn't realize it.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, if he's still on, he'll come back on in a little bit here. So what was that?
Oh, I was just going to chime in, and I mean, I guess I could ask, Erica, what's your take on having a dual threat quarterback? Do you think it's risky or?
You know, some of the dual threat quarterbacks, I do tend to stay away from them just because they can be injury prone. I mean, last year, RG3 was hurt. Cam Newton's already been hurt this year. I mean, he'll start week one. But, they do get you a lot of points. And I think if you can find a dual threat quarterback that does not have a history of injuries and is consistent, then they'd be a great draft pick for sure. I tend to stay away from them. Because I like the traditional pocket passers, but you definitely can't ignore the earning potential of a dual-threat quarterback. And you got to make sure if they're just bombing the ball down the field and throwing a lot of interceptions, well, that gets you minus points. You got to kind of weigh those, you know, the cost-benefit analysis there. But, yeah, they're definitely a legitimate pick for sure.
And, Nicole, that was a great description.
Oh, great question or description with the injury
prone? No, that was
prone.
A great answer to the question. I was accidentally muted.
Yeah, sorry
about that. But that was awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Jim, we actually thought you went under the foxhole with all these questions, but I see you're back.
No.
Yeah, we thought you dropped off for a minute, so I was just answering while we were waiting for you to come back.
Cool. Are you still there?
Yep.
I think he's either muting in. Is he muting in and out? Is that what he's doing?
Maybe.
Okay. So, Nicole, while we get Jim back in, let's talk about gridirongirls.org. I got started, and then you know your passion obviously for college football, because coming up here it's a new season, and from what we hear from Erica, a lot of exciting things going on East Coast to West Coast and Midwest, and pretty exciting season to come.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean obviously diehard college football fan, and basically I started the site a couple of years, like something to do for fun. I was teaching some, football 101 for women here in Oregon with some of the former Oregon Ducks players and actually current players. As the event progressed, you know, more of the current players would come. And so I just kind of decided that if I was going to be standing up there talking about football, I should at least have, you know, something behind my name as, you know, so I decided I would just start a blog. And then that, you know, over the span of a couple of years has grown. And obviously we brought on Erica like a year and a half ago, I think it's been. And obviously yep. She's been a fantastic asset and just in terms of bringing on the NFL piece to what we're trying to do. But the whole mission was to sort of inspire women to love the game too. So, you know, we wanted to provide football articles about football, but do it in a different way. So we focus more on, you know, featured interviews that are sort of more, I guess, quote unquote touchy feely, or for example, I just finished up an interview with Marcus Mariota, and I didn't ask him anything related to football. I mean, it was more about his his feelings around game day and his family and, you know, life in Hawaii and that sort of thing. And so we really just tried to appeal to the female emotional side, I guess you can say, but at the same time also talk about the game. So, you know, one thing we try to do is talk about the upcoming game and what to watch for. So explaining in basic terms things to watch in the upcoming game that might be interesting and appeal to the sort of emotional nature of women. So if there are, for example, two teams playing and there's a brother on each team, you know, we might write about something like that. Or, you know, if there's a backup starting, you know, you might talk about that and sort of his journey to get there, you know, different things like that. It's all sort of to appeal to, you know, women love football, and I think there's diehards like Eric and I that care about the plays and the formations and all that stuff and the matchups and what have you, but there's also a huge group of women that like the game but don't necessarily understand it fully, and but can get more interested and pay attention if they have something to focus on, like, you know, if they know more about the quarterback or about his life and maybe his relationship with his mom or whatever. So kind of, I think women tend to be more attached to the players themselves versus the game initially, you know, and as they learn more, then it obviously becomes more about the X's and O's. But so that was really the mission, is to sort of bring women in and appeal to that side, if that makes sense. And then also we wanted to provide content that was geared towards the women that don't necessarily care too much about the game, but they care about the game day. So, you know, we want to provide recipe ideas and party ideas and, you know, tailgating and fashion and that sort of thing to appeal to that side of the fan base. So that was the intent, and obviously we're, you know, a work in progress and growing and changing, but so far what we've learned here, at least in Oregon, is that it's a pretty I think across the nation, but it, having some access media-wise here in Oregon has really taught me that, you know, that it's an interesting niche that other media outlets are looking at, you know, saying, wow, why didn't we think of this? And so, you know, I think people, you know, are learning to appreciate what we're doing, but it's obviously a different aspect or a different approach, and so it's not as widely accepted in places like the South, for example. So it's a work in progress in getting people to understand what we're trying to do, but, you know, so far so good, and we're making good headway, so.
Great. I mean, it sounds like you want to build something, like you said, it's, you know, females can relate to it, and then at the same time, it's not too overly done, like some of the blogs are either too intense or they're either not intense enough. So, you got to kind of like work with that. I was trying to do blogs, but I don't have the time or the staffing. So it's a credit to whoever does that. Example, like, you know, Jim here, who's got Fantasy Greek, and I'm pretty sure it's a massive undertaking as well, but he does an amazing job, just like yourself on the site. And Erica tells me that you guys are always looking for someone to contribute to certain colleges so that you can spotlight those as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we like to remind, we always need more writers. I mean, the goal is to obviously be able to grow and cover, you know, every college that we can, you know, specifically the top 25 teams. You know, so we are constantly looking to have more writers, and, you know, and I think people tend to, you know, especially we want to have female writers, and so a lot of times they feel like maybe a little too intimidated, like they don't know enough or they can't analyze enough, and really what we want them to know is we don't want you to analyze, we don't want you to talk about, you know, why the team lost. For example, we don't want you to dive into, you know, the offensive line didn't do this or that, or, you know, we want a more relational take on the game. So, you know, you want to have people that are knowledgeable about the game, because you want to obviously talk a little bit about that, but the main focus is being able to interview and get to the, you know, get the players to open up and that sort of thing. So, you know, we don't want girls to feel too intimidated, like they don't know enough. I mean, for example, I cover Oregon and I am just learning to play fantasy football, so I'm no, you know, football or NFL genius, that's for sure. So we just want people that are passionate, that love the game, that can write, you know, but we're obviously there to help them kind of develop their writing skills too, so.
Awesome. Sounds like a great site, and, you know, it's been very successful so far, so congratulations on that, and I know it takes a lot of undertaking and a lot of hours, and just like myself, I'm very grateful to everybody that I network with, because networking is a big deal to growth. So if you don't have a good base networking, sometimes it's very difficult to, you know, to take something and try to grow it. So, Nicole, congratulations on that, because that's a lot of, like I said, it's a huge undertaking. But just like anything else, hard work, and eventually things will pan out.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot say enough about the team we have. I mean, Erica especially has just been incredible, and with her devotion to what we're trying to do and helping us grow. And so we're, you know, very fortunate and blessed to have her. Yeah, we have a great team around us. And, you know, what's good for us is that we have girls all over the country. So, you know, if we need somebody in Alabama to go meet with, a fashion designer that wants to meet with us, I mean, we can do that. We can send somebody over there, you know, without me jumping on a plane. So we have a pretty good setup, but like I said, it's a work in progress and a fight to sort of be accepted in sort of, I hate to say it, but male-dominated area, especially in the media world. So, or, you know, media world of college and NFL football. So, but we're trying. So we appreciate any support, and especially from you guys allowing us to come on the show and talk about what we're doing.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Just like, you know, we talked to Erica, anything you guys got going on, you guys are welcome to use the format here. And then going forward, we even talked about, you know, setting up maybe another show during the week and showing her how to do that and take the format that way too. So in the future, you know, you might be able to get another forum that way and get spread the word out even more. So, Jim, are you still here?
Oscar, I'm back.
Awesome. You know, Jim, this Foxhole thing is not working out for us. It's kind of like a backup quarterback that never showed up to work, but never mind. We're just joking. Jim, tell us a little bit about At Fantasy Greek, how it got started, and, you know, obviously it's a huge undertaking as well, just like gridirongirls.org, I'm pretty sure, when you started. So tell us a little bit about your site and how things have evolved till now.
Oh, sure. It's at thefantasygreek.com. Basically started as a blog a few years back. I think this might be our fourth year now. And a couple years ago, actually last season, we changed the format from a blog to more of a website, meaning that there's drop-downs, that there's places you can go. We have a page, a team page for every single team in the NFL. We have a membership area where there's just exclusive information for members. I think it's $12 for the year, which is real reasonable. And it offers things like fantasy points allowed, early looks, starts and sits, game-by-game analysis, and one other thing off the top of my head I can't remember. Oh, Ask the Fantasy Greek. You get to email in your roster, and we'll give you our recommendation of who to play. It went from little old me to now I have 10 or 11 contributing writers to the site. I'm still looking for more. We don't have every team covered, and we would like to get every team covered. It just basically requires some nuts and bolts knowledge about football. And I think I heard the ladies mention this. I'm not sure which one, but some good writers, people that can string together some sentences, as opposed to many times it's people that they don't have a passion for writing. It's really not what they want to do. They'd rather talk about football, and if that's what they want to do, they need to find a different form. That's not what we do. And outside of that, I've been doing this full-time. This will be my second season. We had our first fantasy football draft guide, not first draft guide, but it was available for the first time on Amazon and has been the number one bestseller for 2 weeks in a row now. And we also just came out with our pro football preview guide, which I wanted to do because I want to be in that space of talking about football itself, not just fantasy football. It seems many times when you talk fantasy football, some people show a little bit disdain about it, which makes absolutely no sense to me, since what we're really doing is evaluating player performance by looking at the past and then looking into the future. It makes so much sense, and now you even see teams bringing in people who their background is fantasy football, and it's more about statistics as well as indexing and finding ways to get value out of your players and putting them in the right situations. So that's what the Fantasy Greek .com does, and hopefully we'll be around for a very, very long time.
Sounds like a great site, and it's something, you know, that we wanted to do because we saw you on the Twitter handle, and Erica was starting the fantasy gig on gridirongirls.org. So we thought you would be a great benefit to the show because we needed somebody with, you know, giving us just some insights on the knowledge of fantasy football. And I know there's a lot of people that are leery about it, and then there's always the over addicts, what I call the addictive people. They go extreme, you know, just like an owner, and they go very extreme. I was a part of a couple of leagues that I had to just remove myself from because you get to a point where you just go a little overboard, you know what I mean? It's like it's not life or death, but if you're going to take it to the soccer realm of things where you're going to shoot the goalie because you lost the game, probably not the healthiest league you want to be in at this point. But they happen,
not at
you
all.
Know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I mean, some of the football players I know, they really do like fantasy football because how it brings fans into the game and gets people rooting for them. But when things aren't going quite right and certain fans turn into that crazy, I'm not even sure what the right adjective would be, but they turn crazy and make no sense. It just, you know, it's a football game. Things happen. That's out of everybody's control. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and I absolutely love the players that I've met and talked to and interviewed and doing what I'm doing right now. And, you know, the best advice is to have a plan and stick to it. You'll always bump into naysayers or people who talk to you in a doom and gloom fashion as if you've got no business doing what you want to do. And those are the people you just got to ignore, and there's a lot of them, and just keep pressing along. As the great Vince Lombardi said, winners never quit and quitters never win.
Yeah, and I also have a shirt on our site that says bad things to the haters, so you can always purchase that and just wear it all the time. But anyway.
There we go. Oh,
bottom
real quick
line
for
is,
the ladies. Can I, for the ladies,
ahead.
Real quick, I got to give props to my wife. She is a 2-time fantasy football champion, and I have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Wow. That's awesome.
She plays against guys, and it's always funny when she first gets into a league and they see that, you know, she's a woman. Somebody offers the worst trade on earth as if she doesn't know what she's doing, and it's just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
I've had that happen.
I guess it goes to show that women's intuition is a lot better than men.
Absolutely.
You know what I struggle with fantasy football is, so I'll draft my players, I'll have my team. And then I'm a huge Patriots fan. And the Patriots will be playing a team where I have somebody, a fantasy player, on that team. So it's like, okay, I want that guy to do really good and get me points, but I want that team to lose. It's like a total, like, you know, my soul is being torn in half because of this quandary. So that's my big struggle with fantasy football.
I have a solution for that. Just don't pay attention to your fantasy. Just lock it in and let it go.
That's absolutely true. That's true.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do because I love to root for players, even, and I hate stating even against my own favorite teams. But it also, the great thing that it does is it really makes you love football more so than even the – if you do it long enough, you'll end up loving football more than you will your personal team. And you'll grow to appreciate other teams, like what they've done, creating dynasties or some of their traditions and some of their fans, and then some you won't appreciate too. But, you know, I think as a general matter, you like football. And there's a lot of people that love it.
Jim, we don't need to harp on Cleveland yet, okay? Let's give them a chance.
What's that?
I said we don't need to harp on Cleveland yet. Let's give them a chance. I mean, the kid made just a mistake with the middle finger, but he'll correct it.
For sure. Those people I feel so bad for, the Cleveland fans, just one piece of bad news after another.
Yeah.
It's got to be the water, Jim. The water. I blame the water. But it's all good because LeBron's back and Jesus did some good there.
There you go.
Oh.
All right, Erica, go. Yeah.
No, I can't. If I talk about Manziel, it will end up in a rant if I talk about Cleveland, Oscar. I just shouldn't go there.
See, Nicole, see this is what you. This is what I inherited, the rant.
I know, you should consider yourself lucky.
Lucky. Oh, nice.
I mean, he's a professional now, and I get there's more, it's not just Manziel doing babyish things, but he wants everyone to take him seriously. That's all he keeps saying, take me seriously, I'm a hard worker, and then he goes and totally undermines what he's saying. It's like actions speak louder than words. And he has not really done anything in preseason to show the Browns that he's ready to leave the team, and he flips off the Redskins bench and gets a fine. It's just, he just needs to get his act together and show everybody that and back up what he said. That's just, he just needs to grow up. It's irritating.
Jim, I was going to ask you a question. On your Fantasy Drink website, are you going to put a empty bar where it says Redskins, or are you just going to put Washington as a normal?
Well, if you go to the NFL teams in the drop-downs, we do have Washington Redskins. That's their team name. We can't, you know. What are you going to do?
So you're okay offending Native Americans and every other American in the country, right?
You know, that's a loaded question. There's really no right answer to it. No one's interested in offending anybody. I wish Daniel Snyder would make it easier for the rest of the world and just realize that he should do something and step up to the plate and be a leader about the whole issue. I know it's tough, but, you know, he's just got to really – he needs to embrace it, and he needs the people around him to stop being yes men or yes women and be no men and no women.
Yeah, I don't know what's ridiculous, either Congress dealing with it or the NFL not doing anything about it or the owner just neglecting it. So all those three kind of go together, but, hey, they're making money, they get a paycheck,
yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, I mean, somebody should do a study and see if he's losing money. I bet you he would be losing money. He could make more money
more
changing
likely.
The name. Right.
I agree, Jim. It's definitely the owner has been very silent on the issue, and he needs to step up. And he is a leader, and he needs to show everybody that that's who he is, and I totally agree.
Okay, let's not go political, but let me just say something. If I was in his shoes, I'd probably go golfing and take some time off.
Say that again?
I said, let's not get political, but if I was in his shoes, I'd probably just go golfing for a little bit and take some time off. It's a crisis, though.
There you go.
Silence. I can't believe I got silence from everybody. Okay, well, anyways.
So, I have a question for Jim. So
yes.
You probably heard about Welker getting his third concussion in 10 months last night, right? So
yes, I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think, don't you think he's a fantasy risk at this point? Once you get a couple concussions, obviously it's easier to get more. What kind of fantasy risk do you think he poses now?
Well, I agree with everything that you said. Before, if he was pushing to be a top wide receiver one or a wide receiver two, I definitely think he loses that value because he becomes riskier. First of all, he's probably going to miss some time from this concussion given the fact that it's his third within a year. Then once he gets back, there's a further added risk that it'll be much easier for him to get his fourth concussion. And what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody really knows. And if it were me, I would take him, I would avoid him. And if I was in a position to take him, it would be as my third wide receiver or as a bench player. And if I don't get him that way, that's fine. I don't care. Just won't take him.
Yeah. I think it's definitely this concussion poses a definite risk to his entire career. I mean, without the concussions the guy had, obviously he has a long time in the league. But given this pattern of concussions, I think that, you know, if he gets another one, it's definitely time to look at, you know, his options at, you know, his career ending. It's, you know, really dangerous.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. But on the flip side, let's look at the positive. The reality is Emmanuel Sanders' fantasy value would increase substantially, as well as Andre Caldwell's.
Yeah. Sanders looked really good in the game last night. I was definitely looking at him as a potential draft pick. He looks really good.
Emmanuel Sanders?
Yes,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, you got anything for Jim?
You know, I think I got my questions answered, but I appreciate it. I guess, well,
awesome.
Can I ask who your top pick is going to be for the quarterback? Are you able to divulge that?
You know, when Oscar was sharing with me sort of how to handle some of the topics that we could talk about, what I thought about, like, let's say top five quarterbacks, really the way to look at it is you've got the top three, and if you're going to get one of them, you're probably going to get them in the third round, and if you don't pick one in the third round, you might as well wait till the fifth or sixth round to get a quarterback. And at that point, I like quarterbacks like Matt Stafford, who's in a very quarterback-friendly offense, surrounded by a variety of offensive weapons, is a quarterback to take, you know, is the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. I think you'll never be able to get him as the seventh quarterback drafted in fantasy football. I really like him in one of those earlier spots. And a guy that I like that, you know, he might be one of the lower-end QB1s taken in your draft is going to be Matt Ryan. For the very same reason, he's got his main offensive weapons back. I think he's a player that could push for a top-five finish. We'll see. But he still should, you know, he can't get the top three. I think he's a solid option.
I agree. Matt Ryan is a solid player. He gets overlooked a lot, and I don't know if it's because he's at Atlanta or what, but he's a solid quarterback. I've been really impressed by his career so far.
I am too, and I think anybody put on the field with him, he'll find a way to work with him. I really love Devonta Freeman. I have him on my two fantasy football teams that I've drafted so far as a bench player, and not even my first bench option. And, you know, Steven Jackson is certainly at the end of his career. I would not doubt to see his role even more diminished as the season goes on, and very well this is probably his last season as a pro, unless he really, really shows he's got something left in the tank. But Devonta Freeman's looked so good in the preseason, I think the Falcons would be wise to move on to him.
Jim, we cannot let you go without having a Romo moment. So the Romo moment is, do we take Romo or we don't?
Oh, take Romo. I mean, here's the thing. And I know he got hit the other day in this past game, and they made it sort of into a big deal. And it always causes me concern when he gets hit. He's got a good offensive line. The defense is awful for the Cowboys, playing from behind, which means he's going to be throwing the football a lot and often. So from a fantasy perspective, he makes for a very solid low-end QB1. If he's not a good NFL quarterback, he can still be a great fantasy football quarterback. That's the way to look at it.
That's the way I look at it.
Boy, I'm happy. I'm happy for
I'm thrilled. All right, so Erica, anything else for Jim before we let him go here? And thank you for the time as well. So, Erica, anything else?
No, I think it's been a good discussion on fantasy. It's been fun.
Good. Nicole, you got anything for Jim before we let him go?
No, I don't think so. I may be trying to sign up for a membership, though, and asking some side questions.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate when people sign up. Thank you.
I also want to know what I get if I beat Erica.
Ooh.
Well, I think you guys need to make a little side deal. That's what you need to do, make a little side deal.
Nicole, I was just going to ask you, you're wearing green, but it's not green on the East Coast because if you are, you're in trouble.
Right. No, it's here in Eugene, everybody has about 20 duck shirts and you know, that's what we wear every day. All season or off season, on what, you know, during the season, it's just how it is around here. We don't even really need to wear other clothes. We just, you know, put on a jersey all year long. So
she likes purple. She likes to wear purple is what she likes to
Absolutely
wear.
Not.
Okay. Well,
no,
purple,
I was telling,
purple's still a good color.
I actually was afraid for somebody's life the other day that was walking into the gym that had a Husky shirt on. I literally thought, that's probably not a good idea. He's probably going to get hurt. And the sad part is I wasn't even kidding. Like, it's pretty bad out here. So,
you can't get any worse than walking into Oakland with the St. Louis Rams jersey. That's
exactly.
pretty bad. I mean the old colors, the bus
right.
yellow and blue. Yeah,
right.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, me and
so this
Nicole.
This was me that did that. So.
Uh-oh. Oh, bad idea.
Yeah, I know.
What were you going to say, Erica? Be mortal enemies. Oh, just that you and I should be mortal enemies, actually. But we're like best friends in real life, but our teams are mortal enemies.
Right.
Our
I mean, but
team.
Truth be told, I
so.
Actually hate Arizona more than the Huskies. So, you know, that's where I stand, which is allowing our friendship to continue, actually.
Yep. And I hate USC more than I hate Oregon. So, there you go.
All right. So, Erica, Jim has gone his way. So we thank him for coming on.
Yes.
You can catch
yes.
him at Fantasy Greek on Twitter. At fantasygreek.com, and obviously the lovely Nicole Brown, you can catch her as well at OU Gridiron Girl, right?
UO Gridiron Girl, yeah.
There you go. See, I got slapped already. Correction made. So you can find her on there, and then obviously on gridirongirls.org. Nicole, it's been a very entertaining hour, and it goes pretty fast. We used to do a half
yeah.
hour, and we had no idea how fast that goes. Obviously, we thank you for coming on, and we really appreciate continued success with the site, and we look forward to maybe another time that we can discuss maybe during the college season as it goes into sequence, and then at middle of the season, and maybe talk a little, bowl season, bowl section as we get towards the bowls.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Awesome. So, Nicole, thank you again. Have a great West Coast Sunday out there. And we look forward to tabs on you, obviously, on Twitter.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Have
hey,
a great all. Afternoon.
Bye-bye.
So, Erica, we got Jim Sorrentis, pretty informative, pretty insightful, and obviously entrepreneur as well. He started his own blog to his website, and he's doing really well. So just a matter of, making some time and doing it. So we thank him for giving us all the insights and obviously an edge for you from some of the insights. And then obviously Nicole, thanking her to come on and introduce us to obviously the Gridiron Girls and what it's all about.
Exactly, yeah. It's fun to have her come on and kind of tell the story of, you know, how she started the site and then how I got involved. And obviously I'm very fortunate to be involved with Gridiron Girl and to be able to, you know, have my passion, you know, be able to do that all the time and write about something I'm so passionate about and then obviously be able to come on here and share that with everybody and learn about the women's game. So it's just, I feel so fortunate, just like she said, to just be able to be involved and do what we do.
Yeah, and it's going to be great. So let's go do the plug-ins now. You're going to be on this show every Sunday, give or take, depending on what's going on in our lives as well. And then you're going to be on Cover 3 every other week. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if it's every other week necessarily. I don't have a schedule. It's tentative. But I will be on there regularly throughout the season for sure. So it will be on my Twitter when I'm going to be on there. So check out @PepFangirl12. And you'll know if I'm going to be on Cover 3 for the week. And then at Cover 3 has a Twitter as well, so you can check them out.
So you'll post the at Cover 3 link as well as your link, and then we can retweet it on our Twitter handle as well. So when you're going to be on talking NFL football, and she's a big time Redskins fan, so we appreciate her as well and making the time and giving you the format as well. So it's great to have that. Yeah. So. It's going to be like a 1-2 punch, here and there. So it's great.
Yeah. And
it's
like,
going to be fantastic,
like you said,
for the season.
And like with Gridiron Girl, probably having a weekly call just like we do here, but it'll probably be midweek. We're trying to iron out the details with that and when we want to do it, but we're really excited for that this season and, interact with fans and other writers, and so we're excited.
Yeah, and that would be a great thing because, like I said, there's a lot of passionate college football fans out there as well, not just NFL fans. So as the college season gets into gear, it's almost like a fantasy football frenzy mentality too because, zillions of colleges So I don't wrap my handle, I mean, my hand around that because it's just too much to cover. But at the same time, it is exciting. And, you know, it's America, and we love American football, so it's great.
Right.
Here's what we're going to do. Last week, August 31st, we have a Tessa Barrera. Tessa Barrera, if nobody knows who she is, which you should know, but if you don't, she was number 20 from the Los Angeles Temptation, three-time champion Los Angeles Temptation. She obviously retired, left the LFL. She is now on television in her Corpus Christi, and you can follow her at Tess1, T-E-S-S-1, Tess2, T-E-S-S-2, Tess1 and Tess2. Is that pretty simple? At Tessa Barrera, and if you tweet her, you need to tweet her with the hashtag NoJokeFootball and tell her why you deserve to win her exclusive T20 Tessa Barrera shirt that was designed exclusively for her at our NoJoke Football store at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauty. It's pretty simple. And we've also paired up with Women's Football Talk at FPT Talk on Twitter and on the blog, and you can catch that link on our Twitter feed. And Women's Football Talk was the originator of this program. BJ Coletta brought me on board, did a guest showing, and after that we ran the ball with it, and really appreciative to her to giving us an opportunity to showcase the amazing women that play American football globally and internationally, and we are grateful for her to give us the opportunity for this platform, and we can't say good things about her because she's an amazing player. She also played American football as well, so she understands the game, the mental side of it, and all of the intangibles that come along with it. But if you follow her at FB Talk, you can also tweet her and tell her why you deserve to win a shirt. She is giving out one of five No Joke Football shirts on her site. And if you go there, you just got to let her know why you're passionate about women's American football. And you might be chosen. The first person that goes to 1,000 followers on her site will get issued a shirt. So we're going with 1,000 followers. The first 1,000, up to the 1,000 followers, then she'll do the prizes for that. So if you want details, contact her at WFTB Talk, and she'll give you the details, direct message her, and she'll let you know what's going on with the contest, as well as her blog at womensfootballtalk.com, and we'll have that posted on our Twitter handle as well. So we want to thank the amazing players in Australia for this upcoming season. They're obviously giving us support and networking with us. The Australian season has kicked off in the Female Queensland League. There's still the New South Wales League, the Victoria League, the ACT League, the LFL Australia League, plus the Ladies Gridiron League. So a lot of leagues to cover, a lot of amazing women playing American football down under for the so-called summer season in their season, but our winter NFL season. So thank you to everybody. And Erica, any last words before we take off?
No, just thanks for tuning in and, you know, check out at Gridiron Girl Org and at PathFangirl12 for, you know, anything, talking football, trash talk, anything at all. We'll have fun.
And now you guys get ready because Erica Lynn Anderson is just hyping up for the Are You Kidding Me? We've got like another week or so. And then first weekend, you will get to see the Miss Anderson here give you some dishes, throwing some plates. And it's going to be some fun times on YouTube as well. So we look forward to that in another week or so. So enjoy the preseason, everybody. One more week. I'm going to muster up this Rams support for the next week. We'll see what kind of quarterback we get. We'll see what kind of makeshift team we got. Probably going to be on my knees tonight just talking to the big guy upstairs. Just give us some sort of 8-8 season. But other than that, you know, we'll hope for the best at this point. So let's just hope it works out. But thanks for tuning in. We appreciate Jim Sorrentis coming on, and as well as Nicole Brown. And we look forward to another edition of the Gridiron Blitz with myself and Erica Lynn Anderson next week on Block Talk Radio. And you can also find our podcast at ultimatesporttalk.com. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.